From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Well, excited to introduce our audience to our next guest. You hear him daily on KLYT, Real Life Radio, at 4:30 every weekday afternoon. Pastor Jack Hibbs is the pastor of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in California. And you may also from time to time, if you're watching the news and other outlets, see his face pop up. Well, when it comes to things going on in your community and our community as a nation. But we're going to talk a little bit about his latest book, Living in the Days of Deception. That's D-A-Z-E. Very clever play on words. Appreciate it. And I also, Pastor Jack, appreciate you taking the time to join us for today's a couple of segments.
Well, Steve, I'm honored. Thank you so much.
And, you know, let's jump right in. And actually, what I want to do, and this will be probably the most you'll hear from me in the interview, is kind of give a landscape of some that's been going on here in New Mexico. And we're going to tie it to things you're covering in your book, Living in the Days of Deception. But a couple of sessions ago in the Roundhouse in the Capitol in New Mexico, six laws were passed that much of the community was not pleased with. They didn't feel represented by those we'd sent to the Roundhouse. And now these are laws that are on the book now. And there was a group of people working to create this referendum and have petitions signed to get these laws on a ballot. So the citizens could tell our representatives just how we felt about these laws that were passed. And let me cover quickly what they deal with. Voting rights protection was one. Another was reproductive and gender-affirming health care, which removes parental notification regarding productive and transgender health procedures. Expanding Human Rights Act, this is the third, adding sexual orientation and gender identity as a protected class. And the fourth being election changes, which these laws, they prevent release of information and restrict special elections to mail-in voting and permit absentee voter list. And then another, reproductive health provider protections, protects all abortion and transgender treatment providers with an absolute cone of protection, no suing over malpractice. And then the final, school-based health care centers. These health care centers inside our public schools that don't require any parental notification or awareness. Now, the referendum essentially was shot down by the Secretary of State in New Mexico. And I won't go into the reasons there, but it's gone. It's not a thing anymore. And the community has moved to the Not My Kid petition, found at Better Together New Mexico website. And they're signing a petition that, you know, God willing, will be a stack of pages that they walk in eye to eye, hand these to our legislators. So I go into detail there because the listener, I want them to be reminded that this is something they have opportunity to take action on. But now this is all quite a shift, Pastor Jack, from traditional beliefs. And in your book, Living in the Days of Deception, how do you link this shift to deception?
Well, what's remarkable about, first of all, my heart goes out to you and to our fellow, I don't even have to say believers. How about our fellow law-abiding, citizen-loving American constitutional experiment that we have as Americans? Because what you're talking about, Steve, is an absolute tyrannical act. And here's where I'm concerned, and it plays into the book, Living in the Days of Deception. Are Americans even recognizing tyranny when they meet it? When a tyrannical decision or path of destructive ideas, or in this case, legislation, comes their way, does the Christian or does the good citizen of New Mexico or California, for that matter, even have the wherewithal to identify what is deceptive, what is deceiving, what is dangerous? We have come to a place, Steve, where as even as believers, We don't know what is deceptive and what is dangerous because so many professing Christians are not involved in the fight. And they've actually removed themselves from the fight. And so what happens is, and you know this well, Steve, that whenever light or salt or the believer evacuates an area, whatever we surrender, walk away from, the enemy fills. It's well declared in Scripture. C.S. Lewis was a great articulator of this fact. Whenever we say, well, I'm not going to get involved in that, that means I surrender and the bad guys are going to get involved. And what happens is you've got literally an attack on morality. Steve, I wrote down everything that you were saying a moment ago. And just on the grounds of morality, and I'm speaking to those who are not Judeo-Christian worldview followers, morality alone, everything you itemized, Steve, is a morality issue. And so let me ask, do the people of New Mexico understand that when they don't get involved in morality issues, that the bad guys do, the crazy people do? And what's happened is we've been deceived into an apathy. We've been deceived into a complacency. We frankly have been deceived into a mode of, you know, I'm just going to wait around to die or for the rapture to happen and let everything just sail off the end of the planet, as it were. And that just cannot happen. And we're fighting back. We've been fighting back for three decades in California. And finally, we're seeing tremendous payoffs. But the point is, the believer, I see nowhere, Steve, and then I'll end with this. I see nowhere in Scripture where the believer is to be responsive to the evil around us. We are commanded to be proactive to the evil that is around us. We are the ones that are to engage the culture for righteousness' sake. And that's where the church lost the fight. And she's got to get back her footing in this area of what is called doing righteousness, because I don't think Christ is coming back for an unrighteous church. I think he's coming back for a righteous church.
Well, and Pastor Jack, I'm an old school Christian rock guy. So some of what you said brought me back to an old Petra song that's Living for the Bell. When you leave, it's just as well.
Amen. I'm familiar.
Okay, so we see what's happening in New Mexico is in relation to morals. Another shift mentioned in your book, that of the world's moral foundation. Could you give some examples and tie them back to the book, the book's central message?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. We will discuss in the book global deception, living in the days of global deception. And now that is a broad net, and the book is only just under 300 pages, so you can't cover everything. But here's the deal: the believer needs to wake up to the fact that groups, for example, like Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum—it's the World Economic Forum—but they leverage that, of course, economy. We think of the god Mammon, how you either serve the Lord or you serve money. The World Economic Forum serves the money factor of things. But they will not let that limit them, because what they've done is they've leveraged that into every area of global worship, spirituality, environmentalism, morality, education, you name it. The World Economic Forum is actually now an unofficial global entity whereby it dictates to us the rules and regulations that the companies we work for operate under. Steve, they're the ones, and again, you know this very well, they're the ones, the World Economic Forum teamed up with the World Health Organization, and they're actually right now, and I have a dear friend, you may know her, Michelle Bachmann, former congressman.
Yeah.
She's fighting at the UN to stop this united global entity from taking down the United States Constitution. It's not a secret. That's not a conspiracy. They have already declared that the U.S. Constitution is in the way of globalism. Well, really, peel back the Constitution. the real person that is the real stick in the mud is the born-again believer who is engaging their faith in every aspect of life, from church on Sunday to the world on Monday. And so the Days of Deception answers the attempt by those who have an actual agenda. And Steve, here's what's crazy. They will claim not to believe in God. They are a secular institution, but they have an incredible worship system of man, and they look to man to be the answer. They look to man to have all wisdom. They look to man to bring in a utopia. It's nothing new. We talk about that in the book. It's really a replay, leftovers, of every area of human history. When God is rejected, man fills that void.
Pastor Jack, on this show, we have often mentioned the polarization, the polarized environment that we're living in, and how easy it is to have conversations that really turn into ugly confrontations. And, you know, those of us with gray hair can remember back to the days of Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill that were on opposite sides of the aisle, but could, you know, stand their ground on their issues, but find places to come together and get things done that were good for the country. But it's changed so much. Touch on the topic as we have these interactions and conversations. Touch on the topic of tolerance and respect, but without compromising our beliefs and convictions, and remaining and remembering that we're ambassadors.
That is such a great question, Steve. This is an obvious sociological and spiritual observation, whereby in those days of Tip O'Neill that you and I with gray hair remember, the Ronald Reagan era, these were men who were most often diametrically opposed. And I don't know where Tip O'Neill's faith was, if any, but I certainly knew where Ronald Reagan's belief was. The point was this, that they were able to discuss, hammer things out, beat each other up, so to speak, with respect. They argued their cases, and then they put it before a republic, a constitutional republic, and whoever won the argument won the day. And at the end of the day, they went out to dinner together.
Yeah.
Why? They were mature. They were mature enough to respect another man's opinion, even though they disagreed. And because, Steve, we are a thin-skinned culture, we have become very petulant, very immature. And we know this if any of us have raised children, their emotions cannot cope with any kind of compromise. They cannot deal with any kind of negotiation. And so what we must do as believers, because we know what we believe, we're not moved, like Paul the Apostle said. None of these things move me. So I can talk to a Republican, Democrat, Independent. I can talk to a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Muslim, and I'm not rattled by their challenges because, number one, God has given me the answers in the Word of God. Secondly, it's not personal. God loves them. My job is to win them over to the side of truth in a loving, winsome way, representing Christ, always representing Christ, but knowing that we may not agree at the end of the day, it doesn't mean I love their soul any less. This new age that we live in, where tolerance has been redefined, that you must accept, you must approve of what I'm arguing for myself, and if you don't, you are intolerant. Where that is an absolute convolution of the definition tolerance, and frankly, an immature, emotionally driven culture, honestly, cannot be tolerant. They will not have the self-control to be tolerant, and so there's a lot of stones being thrown right now because people are so thin-skinned, because they don't know for sure what it is that they actually are defending.
Well, if you just tuned in, we're in the midst of a conversation with Pastor Jack Hibbs, author of Living in the Days of Deception. That's D-A-Z-E, The Days of Deception. And Pastor Jack, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely. Be glad to.
All right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about social media. We're going to talk about end of days. And we're going to connect it to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay with us. We'll be back after this on ABQ Connect. Well, thanks for joining us. We are talking today with Pastor Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California, and the teacher that you hear daily on KLYT at 4:30 in the afternoon, Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, not only thanks for your time here today, but thank you for the content you're able to provide to our listeners daily at 4:30.
Well, look, thanks to you guys, we get to speak to the people there. And without your invitation, we wouldn't be able to do that. So my thanks goes to you.
These next couple of questions, real simple, okay? little unorthodox as an interviewer question-wise, but here we go. Pastor Jack, social media, go.
Social media, should everybody be using it? Social media, are we using it correctly or is it using us? My argument for social media is I think people should have to qualify to be on social media, meaning this. You just don't hand your kid a cell phone because all their friends have cell phones. Or the social media that is out there, how do you know it's true? In fact, to prove to you that it's not true, I'm going to throw myself under the bus. Due to social media and AI, I am able to speak in different languages from the pulpit in my own voice, and yet I'm speaking a foreign language perfectly. How does that happen? In real time, AI. And it becomes, of course, the social media presence for us all over the world. What am I saying? I don't speak Russian. I don't speak Arabic. I don't speak Spanish. But I do speak all that perfectly through AI. That's for the good, because the gospel is being preached. But images, there's apps out there that can take your child's face and turn your child into an absolute object of child pornography. So many parents do not know this. The deception of social media is escalating exponentially month after month, and it's become dangerous. Parents need to wake up and look at their kid's phone, find out and know how to search through it, but they themselves must be an example. Social media is actually, in my opinion, if it's unchecked, is opening the door to a very, very demonic realm of false doctrine and truly the teachings of spiritual entities, because it's the floodgate made wide open. So we think it's a joy and a thrill and excitement. I find it interesting, Steve, that the correlation between divorces associated with people reconnecting with old flames via Instagram or Facebook has skyrocketed. That is a bad thing. The good thing is we can preach the gospel now to everybody around the world in seconds. So it all depends on us being wise enough to use social media. The book, Living in the Days of Deception, reveals the dangers of that social media platform.
And, you know, one of the things that I've experienced, and I don't have a large footprint on my own personal social media, but, you know, I'll post things and I get regular interaction, whether it's sharing likes, loves, hates, wows, whatever. You know, when I touch on certain subjects, you know, when it comes to the political arena or even moral arena, Christian posts or and I go back and there's no interaction. And, I have to assume that that's algorithms. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily shadow banned. I don't know if that would be.
Yeah,
I mean, is there any overcoming that I mean, the only thing I can think of is to communicate directly with friends and say, hey, go here, share this outside of the social media to get the word out via social media.
Yeah, you've got to keep doing that, Steve. I have the exact same problem. And we know that it's happening. There's two answers to what you just said. Number one, I can post a photo or a video of myself or my family at the beach, and there's dolphins jumping in the air and seagulls flying by, and I'll get 50,000 likes. And then I'll post, the next post will be, you need to get involved in your local school board to find out what's being taught to your children. And I'll get 25 likes. So either A, I'm being shadow banned, or people are being convicted and they don't respond. And that's, I believe that's what really happens. People get convicted. Oh my gosh, that's truth. That just stung. I just got hit right between the eyes. I'm not going to make a comment about that, because you can actually quote a Bible verse. You can give, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. I've never been shadow banned by that, but I have had very low response to that when I simply add to that scripture. So remember, everybody, Christianity is a non-spectator faith. Steve, people don't want to hear that. They want to be believing that they're going to heaven without any transformation of life. And we all know that if your life is transformed, you cannot be silent. The Holy Spirit will not let you sit idle. And so, cheer up, Steve. I think the lack of response from your post, a lot of it has to do with people being convicted and they don't know what to say.
All right. The next step I want to go to is a look at what the scripture talks about, the end of days, the disciples and their conversation with Christ. And actually what stood out to me is really the last deeper into Matthew 24, to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Essentially, Pastor Jack, Matthew 24, go.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 24, everybody needs to understand, please, in context, your Bible study should always be wrapped around context. And if you do that, you won't be deceived. Matthew chapter 24 is the famous Olivet Discourse. It's recorded in three other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus begins to tell you the scenario of the last days. Now, what we must realize is that what he's talking about is an increasing crescendo of evil. And there's going to be a time where it is going to be fully realized, and that is the tribulation period. You can look at Matthew 24, verse 15, for example. Jesus says so. He begins to talk about how a time will come when the Antichrist is actually exposed to the world. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24, make sure you read the book of Daniel so you'll understand this. Well, today we're having earthquakes of intensity like never before, and they're increasing. But the Olivet Discourse talked about that. We've got racism. Steve, this is a big one. Jesus said in the last days, a nation will rise against nation. And we think, oh, that's Russia is going to attack America, or America is going to attack China. That's actually not what it means. That would apply to kingdom against kingdom. Nation against nation is the Greek word ethnos. Ethnic races will war against ethnic races. We're seeing that happen now, but the Olivet Discourse is it fulfilled, and that is specifically during that seven-year tribulation period of time. All that to say this, if we are seeing a global unification of escalation regarding all of the features that Jesus mentioned in the Olivet Discourse, we're seeing it coalesce now. This is why Paul the Apostle said to the church, regarding the day and the hour, nobody knows. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write unto you. The believer should be able to look around and say, wow, we are so close. Even though we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, the believer is to discern the times and the seasons. And I do believe we are in those times and seasons right now.
Yeah, well, in regard, you know, in relating it to a pregnancy, Pastor, we're in the 38th yep. week.
That's right. Exactly right.
For the most part, end with the gospel, although a life verse for me in 1 Corinthians, Paul, and depending on which version of the Bible you're reading, he says, you know, I deliver to you as of first importance, primarily, first of all. So it's clear that the gospel is primary to everything, clearly most important. When it comes yes. when it comes to involvement in civil issues, some of the things we talked about earlier, what is the church's responsibility? You've touched on that some, but where does that intersect with the gospel?
I love it. Thank you so much. So let's all track this now. Let's all think while we're driving or flying or in your home listening to Steve's program right now. Think this through, everybody. The gospel, the evangel, is the preaching of the gospel. Preaching. Preach the gospel. Go, therefore, in all the world and preach the gospel. Why are we supposed to preach the gospel? Because that's how people are converted. Steve, you rightly mentioned 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus Christ is Lord. He came, he died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead, and we who trust in him have been transformed. Once the gospel is preached, what is the believer to do? The rest of the believer's lifespan is spent being sanctified by the working of the Holy Spirit. Thus, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go preach the gospel. And listen carefully, everybody. I'm going to deceive you right now. Stand by. Warning. Go and preach the gospel and make evangelists of every nation? No. Go and preach the gospel. That is evangelism for all of us who are believers. And make disciples. Disciples are those who go out after being saved and do righteousness. They do the will of God, which we all who are Christians know it's called the full counsel of God. Paul said, I did not shun or hold back from any of you the full counsel of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the believer, after they're saved, they're to put their faith into action and preach the gospel and shine the light and be the salt, be loving moms and dads and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters, to be men and women of power, who use that power to better other people's lives. And look, we're in election season. We have got to vote for an individual that closest comes to, that is most like, maybe not perfectly, but most like someone who has the Judeo-Christian worldview value. And then I'll end with this, Steve. Somebody might say, well, I don't have that. I got two atheists running for office. Well, is any one of them pro-life? Is any one of them definition of marriage more biblical? Vote for the one that is most or closest to a biblical worldview. The Christian must know these things to be a disciple. We've got to be like Jesus before Caesar. We've got to be like Jesus. We've got to be like Paul before those who are of the empire. And thereby we can share Christ from the Oval Office to the office at home.
Well, we're just about to put a bow on our conversation with Pastor Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California, and author of Living in the Days of Deception. Pastor Jack, this last question, kind of almost a fanboy fun question. How do you get the former United States Secretary of State to write a foreword for your book?
The goodness of God. What people don't know, it was private at the time, but a friend of mine introduced me to Secretary Mike Pompeo right at the outset of Trump's presidency. I was one of a handful of pastors who was a faith advisor to President Trump at that time. I wound up being introduced to Pompeo, who's a very, very strong evangelical born-again believer. We headed off. He came to church here and spoke. We stay in regular contact on a weekly basis. And so, frankly, it was by relationship, like most things that matter, by relationship. So I asked Mike, I said, look, there's nobody better. You, director of the CIA and Secretary of State, I can't think of anybody better that trafficked in the world of deception than you. Could you write the foreword? And it was great. He said, Jack, I'm not going to write the foreword unless I can read the entire book. So we got that to him. He was gracious enough to take the time to read the book. And he's a dear friend even now. And thank you for the question. Yeah.
All right. Well, Pastor Jack, again, listen, we don't take your time lightly. We greatly appreciate the time you've spent with us. And you and I both know God believes in our specificity when it comes to prayer. And if you could close us in prayer, specifically praying for the people of New Mexico.
Yep. Absolutely, Father. It's not just the precious people of New Mexico, but we do pray for them. Lord, these are truly 50 states united by a governing document, the Constitution. You've given us that. Lord, we pray that the liberties and the freedoms afforded by our forefathers, by soldiers and airmen and sailors and guardsmen and Marines who gave their life for these freedoms would be realized in the state of New Mexico. Father God, that you would take hold of the Mexico capital, the legislature, the executive branch, and Father, that you would speak to the assembly, and Lord, that the fear of God would begin to permeate their lives, that they would realize that they're going to have to answer to God someday for their lofty place of authority. Your Bible says that when the righteous are in power, people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, people groan, and California is groaning with New Mexico. So, God, we qualify for your mercy. We qualify for your forgiveness. We qualify, Lord God, for your hope of reviving us as a people. But, Lord, pour out your spirit upon New Mexico. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Jack Hibbs, thank you so much. Of course, we would welcome the opportunity to have you back on again. I think you and I could probably do this for a couple hours. We're so thankful for the time and look forward to talking again.
Well, Steve, I completely agree. Let's do it again sometime. And if the Lord comes back, we'll talk it up in heaven with him.
All right. Hey, stay with us. And thanks so much for listening to ABQ Connect.
Well, we always like to keep you up to date on activities that you and your family can be participating in. And with us from Calvary Chapel New Harvest in Los Lunas, Pastor Jeremiah Brown joins us. Thanks for taking the time, Jeremiah. Always great to catch up with you.
Hey, it is a blessing and an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having us, Steve.
So just from planning events, in our own world here, you've been busy because right around the corner is the Moving Forward Conference. It's going to be in El Paso, Texas, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. So, we're just about 9 or 10 days away, but there's still plenty of time to be a part of this. Before we jump into that, we're going to go into some of the details of the conference. Before we do that, Pastor Jeremiah, for those not familiar with the ministry of Calvary Chapel New Harvest in Los Lunas, remind them where you're located there in Los Lunas and where they can find Pastor David Maestas daily on KLYT.
Amen. We are located at 701 Main Street right here by Church's Chicken in Los Lunas. So it's easy to miss if you're not looking, but easy to find if you look for Church's Chicken. Every day at 4 o'clock right here on KLYT, we're in the book of Acts right now, but there's always encouraging messages, on there just from Pastor David, just to get the word out there, to try to bring more people in.
And the booming voice of Pastor David Maestas, boy, was this guy made for radio.
Right.
More importantly, the sound Bible teaching, which, as we look at our lineup, we're just honored to add that to the lineup of the teachers that are heard daily. But we would encourage our listeners to tune in at 4 o'clock weekday afternoons. Not only that, Pastor Jeremiah, one of the things we tell our listeners, encourage them to do, is to reach out to the ministries that they listen to, whether, financially to support their efforts here in our community, or even this, maybe you can speak to this, as the listener, hears from, the folks that, that actually put one of these programs on the air. How important is it for you to get emails about, what a difference the teaching has made in their lives and just the appreciation of having that there?
Yeah, I tell you, just the battle of, even I'm not the one giving the word, but the battle of just making sure you've done everything possible to get that word out there it's tough when you don't have any feedback whatsoever. So that you talk about encouragement, that really encourages those that put together not only our show, but the other shows as well. There's that guy behind the green curtain. That just lets us know that, hey, God's using you. Just keep on doing it. You know, just keep looking to Him.
Well, as I mentioned at the top, there's a Moving Forward conference coming to El Paso, Texas, hosted in part by Calvary Chapel New Harvest. And now, originally, things were planned a little. There's been some changes, and I bring that up because some people may actually be aware of the conference and thought one thing, but may not be aware that there's been some changes.
Correct. We have moved all the way down to El Paso due to the devastation that's happened in Rio Doso, and please continue praying for them. But Terry Gray and Calvary Chapel Sun City in El Paso, Texas has opened up their facilities. It's an old cotton gin, and it's just, we couldn't be more blessed for this, the way God's working it out.
And there will be Rio Doso representation.
Yes. Considering the storms that they're going through, and the name of our Moving Forward conference this year, the theme is going through storms. This is something that he's going to be able to bring a more current touch of life to the storms that they went through down there in Rio Doso. He's the pastor at Calvary Chapel Rio Doso. And man, God's preparing a message for us all.
Yeah, and if the name is familiar to some of our listeners, especially those who've attended Calvary Church Albuquerque for, you know, a very long time, Geraci is a very familiar name. Skip Heitzig and Gino Geraci, the pastor in Rio Doso's father, who's a pastor in Colorado and is currently doing a podcast there. But I mean, Skip and Gino, I mean, they go back to high school together, and Gino was on staff at Calvary Church here years ago, and has just been doing a great work, well, raising up the next generation to to share the word of God. So in addition to Pastor Geraci being there, we're also going to, that's Anthony Geraci, by the way. We're also going to hear, of course, from Pastor David Maestas. And it's okay. You may not have their crib notes, but on the topic of going through storms, any kind of tease you can give us as far as what to expect when the listeners get to the conference in El Paso on July 18th.
Yes. So first, and this is important to my answer. First, I want to give you the rest of the pastors that you're going to hear giving the word there. And that's
very good.
So we've got Anthony and Pastor David. We've already mentioned those, but we've got Leonard Akpadaka from Inspire Albuquerque, Mike Selecki from Redemption Hill Church, Danny Boss from Calvary Chapel New Harvest Fellowship of Aztec, Dion Cordova, Truth Ministries, Calvary Chapel, and Jim Suttle, Calvary Chapel of Roswell. All of these guys, they're pastors, they're senior pastors. And a lot of times you never hear about the storms that these pastors go through. Every one of these messages this year for this conference is talking about the storms that we may go through and how looking to God is how we make it through those storms in hope and in promise. So I don't have the specifics, but what I do have as a teaser, if you will, is every one of these messages are not feel-good messages. They're messages straight from God's word to teach us, to grow us, and to help us to be able to harness His power to get through life doing His will and His will alone.
Very good. And actually, ultimately feel good in that we're going to be equipped to find hope in those storms. You know, we're you and I both, I know, are often reminded, He doesn't promise to help us avoid the storm, but He does promise to be with us through it. And I think by the end of this conference, that'll be hit home, very strongly. Now let's help the listener that's interested in going to this conference. Again, it's the Moving Forward in Storms conference, Thursday, July 18th through Saturday, July 20th. And the location is going to be Calvary Chapel, Sun City. Now, we say El Paso. Honestly, it's a little north of El Paso, so you won't have as long a drive as El Paso. But if you go to the website at Calvary NHLL, NHLL.com, that's Calvary NHLL for New Harvest Los Lunas, Calvary NHLL.com. At the top of the page, just hover over the word connect, and then the drop-down menu, click on registrations, and you'll see the Moving Forward Conference. Click on that. You'll find all the details. So you do want to pre-register for the event. And on the website, there's information for hotels, because it is the 18th, 19th, and 20th. So a little mini vacation and a conference happening. And I understand you're headed down there. I'm sure you're looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. This is just to see God work, especially after we already had to pull one audible with Ruidoso Fires for our youth conference just about a month or so ago. And to see how God blessed in that, I cannot wait to see what he's going to do with this one right here. Again, the conference is absolutely free to register. You're just on your own for a place to stay.
Okay. And special music planned for the event.
Absolutely. One of our, we like to claim him as a member of our own family now as much as we can. But Jeff Anderson is going to be there leading worship for us. We're also going to have quite a bit more people leading worship as well while we're down there. Just amazing worship, getting in touch with God pure in a pure way as a family does.
Well, I hope that our listeners are as excited as we are for this event, and we'll be a part of it. As we close out, Pastor Jeremiah, will you pray for those that are considering going? Pray for the event itself, and we'll tie it up.
Amen. Thank you. God, as we come before you today, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your goodness, for your grace, Father, Lord. Thank you for always being there for us. God, we thank you for the opportunities to go through storms, God, because that means it's an opportunity for us to grow. Father, Lord, I pray for each and every heart, every ear that's listening right now, God. Lord, that if it be your will that they come down to this conference, God, that you just speak to their heart, prepare their heart for what you're going to give them there, Father. And I pray for the pastors, the worship team, Lord, everybody that's got anything to do with making it down there, Lord, even from visiting churches, God, that you just come down and be with them, God. Draw them closer to you, God, and just encourage them, God. Give them the peace that only comes from you. Father, be with us, Father. Grow us closer to you and help us to bring the last Gentile to faith. We love you and thank you in your name and amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Jeremiah Brown. I'm one of the assistant pastors at Calvary Chapel New Harvest in Los Lunas. And go to the website again. Let me give that website information real quick. CalvaryNHLL.com. Hover over Connect, and you'll see registrations. Click that, and then click on the Moving Forward banner and get registered for this free conference. And again, the hotel information is available on the registration page. Pastor Jeremiah, looking forward to having you back in again, and we're looking forward to tuning in to see what Pastor David has for us this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, Steve.
All right, and thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.